This is Chris returning with the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, September 11th. We'll continue now with the death notices on page A4. Charles Chick Bruins, 98 of Champaign, died at 7:07 a.m. Sunday at Carriage Crossing Senior Living in Champaign. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Owens Funeral Home, 101 North Elm Street in Champaign. Elna N. Collins, 76 of Ivesdale, died at 10:39 p.m. Saturday at Presence Covenant Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Hines Funeral Home, 348 North Pyatt Street in Bement. Marshall R. Hembry, 62 of Fithian, passed away at 6:52 a.m. Saturday at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of Marshall's life will be held at a later date, and memorials may be made to your local Humane Society. Randy Martin, 69, formerly of Gibson City, died on Friday at OSF Hospital. Lamb Funeral Home is handling the arrangements and there will be no visitation. Interment will be in the Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. A private family celebration of life will be held at a later date. Jack A. May, 87 of Savoy, died on Sunday at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Mittendorf Calvert Funeral Home, 611 East Pennsylvania Avenue in Champaign. Norma Louise Rankin, 88 of Urbana, passed away on Thursday at Amber Glen Care Center in Urbana. A private family service will be held at a later date. Dorothy Sprague, 80 of Maroa, died at 12:45 p.m. Sunday at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Calvert Funeral Home, 201 South Center Street in Clinton. Ronald Gordon Sprague, 80 of Champaign, passed away at 6:16 a.m. Friday at Presence Covenant Medical Center in Urbana. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday at Morgan Memorial Home, 1304 Regency Drive West in Savoy. Graveside services will be at 11 a.m. Friday at Rankin Union Cemetery, with Pastor Molly Spence Hawk officiating, and memorial contributions may be made to the Champaign County Humane Society. Ramona Alice Tarrant Byrant, 88 of Florida, passed away August 27th. A celebration of life will be held for her from noon to 3 p.m. Sunday at the home of Jim Evans, 2010 Bentbrook Drive in Champaign. Jerry Cagle, 60 of Tuscola, died at 7:30 p.m. Friday at University Hospital in Indianapolis. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Edwards Funeral Home, 221 East Main Street in Arcola. Esther Cooley, 88 of St. Joseph, died at 10:15 a.m. Saturday at Heartland Healthcare in Champaign. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Freeze Funeral Home, 302 East Grand Avenue in St. Joseph. Carl Deal, 86 of Urbana, died at 11:21 p.m. Wednesday at Carle Foundation Hospital. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Renner Wyckoff Chapel and Crematory, 1900 South Philo Road in Urbana. Shirley Eckerty, 81 of Newman, died at 6:52 p.m. Wednesday at Hillia Healthcare. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. today at Joints Funeral Home in Newman, and burial will be in Newman Cemetery. Bruce Allerton Hertig, 92 of Savoy in Tolono, passed away on Monday, May 1st at the Meadowbrook in Urbana. His final wish was for donations in lieu of flowers to Youth with a Mission, YWAM Tyler, Post Office Box 3000, Garden Valley, Texas. Thomas R. Cagley, Jr., 59 of Bement, died at 3:23 a.m. Saturday at Bement Healthcare Center. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the Hines Funeral Home, 348 North Pyatt Street in Bement. Celebration of Life services for Louise Case will be held at noon Tuesday at the Grove Street Church of God in Christ, 501 East Grove Street, Champaign, with Bishop Robert L. Perry, Jr. officiating. She will be laid to rest in Lincoln Memorial Gardens in Urbana. The family hour will commence an hour prior to the service at the church. Vince Parker, 52 of Champaign, passed away on Wednesday at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Celebration of Life services will be held on Tuesday at Jericho Missionary Baptist Church, 1601 West Bloomington Road in Champaign. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. with services following at noon. Funeral services were entrusted to Williams Memorial Services, 1203 North Market Street in Champaign. Ron Stein, 71 of Newman, passed away 3:10 p.m. Thursday at his home in rural Newman. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Tuesday at the Newman United Methodist Church, with Pastor Dean Beals officiating. Burial will be in Fairfield Cemetery north of Newman. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. today at the Joins Funeral Home. James Stinson, 91 of Venice, Florida, passed away Sunday, August 27th. His service will be in Venice, Florida at a later date. The family suggests donations be made in Jim's honor to the Hospice Support Fund, Post Office Box 1839, Merrifield, Virginia. Gary L. Ward, 76 of Edwardsville, passed away at 7:40 a.m. Wednesday. The family will hold a memorial service at 2 p.m. Saturday at Bible Baptist Church, 4001 Kirby Avenue in Champaign. John F. Garrison, 89 of Mulberry Grove, passed away on Wednesday at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A mass of Christian burial will be conducted today at St. Patrick's Church in Tolono. Memorial contributions are suggested to the Lions Foundation or the Mulberry Grove School District. Douglas Kent Harris, 57 of Bloomington, formerly of Clinton, died at 4:05 p.m. Wednesday at home. Private family services will be held at a later date. Calvert Funeral Home, 201 South Center Street in Clinton, is in charge of arrangements. Marcella L. Ibsen, 101, formerly of New Baden, died on Wednesday, September 6th, at Amber Glen Assisted Living Center in Champaign. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday at Nordyke Funeral Home in New Baden, with the Reverend Jan Dashner officiating. Burial will follow in Greenmount Cemetery. Friends may call from 9:30 a.m. until time of service Tuesday at Nordyke Funeral Home in New Baden. Travis L. Lilly, 28 of Loda, formerly of Bement, died at 3:35 p.m. Thursday in Ludlow. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Hines Funeral Home, 348 North Pyatt Street in Bement. And Craig Byron Wesley, 48 of Gaze, died on Wednesday at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Hines Funeral Home, 348 North Pyatt Street in Bement. From the local page, Tom's Mailbag. I have a friend who needs a ride once he parks at Illinois football games. Is it proper to tip the people who operate the golf carts at the football games? We appreciate the thought, but we do not allow our drivers to accept tips, said Jason Higme, Associate Athletic Director. A simple thank you and go Illini are always welcome, though. What is planned for the property at the corner of Lincoln and University, where the Illinois American Water Company has decommissioned their water treatment plant? The property in Urbana on Lincoln Avenue is being marketed for sale, and once the demolition is complete, we hope to have a purchase agreement in place. The 8-acre plant, which has been offline since June but wasn't decommissioned until August, was built in the 1880s and is believed to be the original Champaign-Urbana Waterworks, which began to provide service in 1885. Farr said the Lincoln Avenue plant does not sit over the Mahomet Aquifer, which is the prolific water source for much of central Illinois. The wells that partially supplied the North Lincoln plant were over the Glassford Aquifer. Illinois American's water treatment plants on Bradley Avenue and Mattis Avenue are sufficient to meet customer water service demand. We slowly transitioned our system over several months to operate without the Lincoln Avenue plant, taking the facility completely offline in June. North of Mahomet on Illinois 47, there is a severe curve in the road. Why? It's a mystery, at least until someone comes up with a good explanation. There doesn't appear to be any obvious reason, such as avoidance of railroad tracks or records of unwilling landowners. Maybe the alignments were on separate section lines. The south curves near Mahomet were constructed in 1933, and the curves near Gibson City were built in 1932. The state purchased the right-of-way for the new curves in the 1930s. Sorry, there isn't a more definitive answer. Did a single developer build or move all those Victorian homes out on South Staley Road, and do they ever have open houses of all the homes? I talked with Kathy Rickmacher, who owns one of the 9 Victorians at Staley Road and Old Church Road, and she said there has never been an open house or house walk in the 8 years she has lived there. Informally, she said it is known as Victorian Row. Here's more from a 2015 mailbag item. The subdivision, once known as Wildwood Lake, but with no marking today, was the child of Wanda Benkocha, who in the late 1980s started moving century-old homes to the site, renovated them, updated them with wooden fixtures and conveniences, and then sold them. She told the late Becky Mabry in a 1990 News Gazette story that she would pay a few $1,000s for the homes, pay another $50,000 or so to move them and hook up utilities, then start to restore them. And then you start putting money into it, she told Mabry. The risk involved is phenomenal. As soon as one was sold, she started working on another. This is total history. It's like going to an auction and buying an old photograph of somebody else's family. There is a mural of a Yorkshire Terrier on the side of a brick residential building at Race in Illinois in Urbana. I love the mural and want to know who painted it. The mural was painted by Horace Zeng, who at one time was an undergraduate at the University of Illinois in crop sciences, according to Jonah Weisskopf of Urbana, who is listed in county records as the taxpayer for the property. The building at 501 South Race is a community cooperative house where everyone shares the common area space, cooks with and for each other, and makes house decisions in a democratic manner. Horace was required to get permission from all the members to paint that particular mural, which he did. Zeng no longer lives in Urbana, and the dog portrayed in the mural, named Rue, belonged to a housemate of Zeng's. And finally, during the summer, several intersections with stoplights on the U of I campus were switched to flashing red, ostensibly making them four-way stop signs. With the students returning, the lights have been returned to their normal function, except one at the corner of Goodwin and Springfield. This light still flashes red. Any reason why? It really snarls traffic during rush hour. Stop signs were installed on Springfield Avenue at Matthews Avenue near University High School for safety reasons because of the number of students crossing Springfield Avenue and the number of cars using Springfield Avenue because of the Green Street closure. The Springfield Avenue and Goodwin Avenue intersection was set to red flash for safety reasons since westbound traffic was backing up into the intersection. The signals at Springfield Avenue and Goodwin Avenue will remain in red flash until Green Street is reopened during winter shutdown. During winter shutdown, this intersection will return to normal operations. Amnesty week set for late fees and fines. Defendants in criminal traffic cases can apply from Urbana. 2 Champaign County elected officials have announced an amnesty week for defendants facing late fees and fines for non-payment of costs in criminal and traffic cases. We are having an amnesty week the first week of October, said Circuit Clerk Katie Blakeman, whose office is teaming up with State Attorney Julia Reitz to clear some cases. Reitz's office holds the contract with a firm that collects overdue fines and fees. For that week, if you pay off your entire case with outstanding fines and fees, We will waive the collection and late fees, Blakeman said, adding it could mean a 30% savings for some. Besides saving money, it could mean speeding up a person's ability to get driving privileges restored. Blakeman explained that by law, when a defendant in a traffic, DUI, or criminal case does not pay fines and court costs by the date ordered by the judge, additional interest and collection fees can be charged. In Champaign County, 90 days after the due date, cases are sent to Harris & Harris, a Chicago-based collection agency. The collection agency loses for that week, Blakeman said, of the amnesty period. Circuit clerk office hours will be extended October 2nd through the 6th to 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Monday, Thursday, and Friday, and 7:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday and Wednesday. The amnesty week is a first for Champaign County. Blakeman said Cook County does it annually. We thought this was a good year to do it, she said, noting that the period will end 2 weeks before her office's second annual expungement and record-sealing summit. That is set for October 21st from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Stone Creek Church, 2502 South Ray Street in Urbana. However, anyone wanting to take part in that must do a bit of advanced work. That includes registering for the event by September 22nd on her office's website, getting a fingerprint criminal history transcript from Illinois State Police by making an appointment at the Champaign County Sheriff's Office, 217-384-1204, the Champaign Police Department, 217-351-4545, or the Urbana Police Department, 217-384-2420. Get all transcripts to the Champaign County Circuit Clerk's Office by September 22nd. If not, you won't be given a time slot for the October summit. And finally, make sure fines, fees, and costs are paid. The judge cannot grant a petition for expungement if the fines and fees are not paid off. We do hear frequently from customers they did not know the full picture of what they would owe and were surprised by the total amount. We know the legislature adds new fines and fees. This is an opportunity to pay only what was ordered in the courtroom. Blakeman's recently updated website makes it easier for people with traffic and criminal cases to see exactly what they owe in fines, fees, and costs versus what are penalties and collection fees. Those who don't have access to a computer may call her office at 217-384-3725 or show up at the courthouse for help. On the day of the actual summit at Stone Creek Church, volunteer lawyers will be there to help people fill out the application and prepare the necessary petitions to get records expunged or sealed. Fees for that procedure are also being waived on that day only. Last year, Blakeman said about 500 people took advantage of the service, representing about 700 cases. From the sports page, a run he'll never forget, former Illini Anderson will have to wait for first major. From New York, Rafael Nadal against Kevin Anderson in the U.S. Open final shaped up as quite a mismatch, and that's exactly what it was. His game at a high level at the end of an unusually easy path through a Grand Slam field, Nadal overwhelmed first-time major finalist Anderson 6-3, 6-3, 6-4 on Sunday to win his third championship at Flushing Meadows. It is the number one ranked Nadal's second Grand Slam title of the year and 16th overall. Among men, only Roger Federer has more with 19. Each of those two longtime rivals won two of the four majors in 2017, marking a return of both to the heights of their sport. Personally, it's just unbelievable what happened this year, Nadal said. After a couple of years with some troubles, injuries, some moments playing not good. At number 28, Anderson, also a former Illini, was the lowest-ranked U.S. Open men's finalist since the ATP computer rankings began in 1973. The 31-year-old South African never had been past the quarterfinals at any major tournament in 33 previous appearances, So when he won his semifinal on Friday, he climbed into the stands to celebrate. There would be no such joy for him on this day, as Nadal dominated the match from start to finish. "I know we're the same age, but I feel like I've been watching you my whole life," said Anderson, who is less than a month older than Nadal. "You really have been an idol of mine, and it's tough playing you. You proved it again tonight." With Nadal nearly backing into the line judges to receive serves, he neutralized Anderson's most effective skill. Anderson came in having won 103 of 108 service games across six matches, but Nadal accumulated break points at will from the get-go. 2 and a 6-deuce game at 1-all, another 2 and a 5-deuce game at 2-all. Anderson began trying to end points quickly with a volley. Two problems with that: Anderson is not usually a serve and volleyer, and so is no expert at that tactic. Nadal is superb at summoning passing shots at extreme speeds and angles, especially when facing the sort of target provided by the 6'8" Anderson, the tallest Grand Slam finalist in history. A course of action. It's taken time, but development of legend subdivision is cruising along. From Champaign. It's been a long time coming, but the legend subdivision in Southwest Champaign is starting to fill in. Its developers say that between the end of the housing crisis, the emergence of the Carl at the Fields development, and a strategic shift from duplexes to single-family homes, the development is in a great spot. "It's a great idea and will develop quickly," said Steve Mead, one of the owners of Signature Homes, which owns the lots in the subdivision. "We've done 17 home sales in the course of about a year and a half, and it's very rare that we have one finished before it's sold." First proposed in 2006, the subdivision near Curtis and Staley Road centers around a 9-hole executive golf course and driving range. It includes 2 streets named after golf legends, Nicholas Drive and Palmer Drive. On Nicholas, we're already used all the lots that back up to the golf course. We just started turning the corner on Palmer. 2 are sold on that street, and we're continuing on down that street. There's probably still another 22 home sites available right now. Last month, the Champaign City Council approved replat of land that will allow for 7 single-family homes, a change from the duplexes that were originally planned there. "It was the wrong product, and it hit at a time when it was tough to do anything," said Mead, referring to the housing crisis in the late 2000s. "We felt building detached single-family homes on the golf course at a price point between $230,000 and $270,000 would do better. These homes have proved to be popular, with most models featuring a first-floor master bedroom." The subdivision is across the street from where Carl at the Fields will be open in 2018. That development will include 300,000 square foot of office building for 1,400 employees, along with other medical and commercial buildings. "The activity that Carl will bring to the area makes our development more attractive to homeowners. The Legend subdivision will include some commercial lots of its own. The golf course has plans for an upscale clubhouse with a resort-style pool, fitness area, golf simulators, and common area, which homeowners of Legends can also be a member of. And the developers have plans for 2 of the 6 commercial lots in the subdivision. 1 is already sold to a local bank. We are also currently building a daycare center for a client called Little Legends, and this site was selected because of its proximity to Carl and Health Alliance. They also hope to build out a retail lot along Staley Road that could include a casual neighborhood restaurant. These retail spaces would be directed at Southwest Champaign residents, Carl employees, and traffic from the interstate. We are in the early planning and layout stages of that retail lot. They expect Legends to continue growing. Champaign is doing better than other central Illinois towns, and we are fortunate to be here. Agency to contribute some funding from Champaign. The city is getting financial help for maintaining steam gauges in the Boneyard Creek and Copper Slough watersheds, care of the U.S. Geological Survey. The City Council this week approved an agreement with the USGS to continue operating and maintaining the four gauges, two in each location, for 2 years starting next month. But this time, the city won't be funding the work alone. It will contribute $47,000, and the USGS will chip in $4,600 in cooperative matching funds. Included in the USGS's end of the agreement is to complete gauge maintenance, data collection, data quality control, and data posting online, according to a city document. Rain and steam gauge data is important for our historic purposes to evaluate flooding complaints, to calibrate watershed computer models, and to see rainfall variances across the city. Professor to lead student painting project, a Parkland College faculty member, has received a City of Urbana Arts grant to help high school students work along with college students to create art for local display. Joan Stoltz, an associate professor of art and design, will lead the collaborative painting project this fall with Parkland and Urbana High students. The works produced will be displayed at the Art Co-op inside Lincoln Square and the Shipyard, both in Urbana. Established in 2008, the Urbana Arts Grant Program provides money each year to artists, arts organizations, schools, and festival presenters for projects that enrich the lives of Urbana residents and visitors. Residential power users to get rebate from Sydney. The village will be giving a $3.50 rebate on residential power bills over the next few months to make up a difference in rates between Ameren and Homefield Energy. Homefield rates will be lower later, but residents can still opt out of the alternative service. White noted that he joined other area mayors in writing a letter to the Illinois Commerce Commission concerning Ameren Illinois service in response to complaints by state environmental groups. And knitting workshops are being offered. The Spurlock Museum on the University of Illinois campus will offer beginning knitting workshops for adults this and next Sunday. The two-part workshop will include materials and costs $20 per adult. Sessions will meet from 1 to 4 p.m. both days. By the end, participants will have completed a cotton dishcloth for home use and learned basic information on yard and needle sizes, pattern reading, and sources for future supply purchases. The program is part of a series led by members of the CU Spinners and Weavers Guild. To register, call Kim Sheehan at 217-244-3355. And a letter to the editor, food service at U of I games terrible. We are fortunate we did not have a sellout for the first Illinois football game. I'm afraid we might have had a revolt in the stands if any more patients went unfed. The game experience includes the fare at the concession stands. Perhaps they forgot that people coming to an 11 a.m. game might want to eat lunch at the stadium. I would guess in the future that many of our fans will stop and eat at one of the really great restaurants in town. Todd Salen, Champaign. This has been Chris with the Champaign News Gazette for Monday, September 11th. I look forward to reading with you again soon.